This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
We're going to start with a nice word on Parshas Shemini. In the Sefer Iluna Dechaya, he brings a remez on the Pusik, Besachazir Ki Mafres Parsa. He said, Besachazir is somebody who's being choizer after mitzvahs, somebody who's looking to do a lot of mitzvahs, Ki Mafres Parsa. He's ready to go with his feet, Perusa Soragalov, even a Parsa. There are people that for a mitzvah, they're willing to go very far, they're willing to overexert themselves. But Vihi Gairu, Lo Yigra. When it comes to a Gairu, Esrim Gairu Kusav, when it comes to spending some money, Lo Yigra, they're very careful that they shouldn't cost them anything, shouldn't diminish anything from the money that they have. They're willing to do whatever they could without paying for it. And that the Pusik ends up saying, to my he. If somebody's too stingy, somebody's too careful with his money, and when it comes to doing mitzvahs and masam toivim and serving Hashem, that's where everything stops. That's obviously not a good sign. And he brings that in Tekin Zoya. It says that a kamtzen, somebody who's stingy, somebody who won't give out money, is called a nuvel. And he says that Reb Shlom Kamiker, the Tzaddik Reb Shlom Kamiker, wouldn't eat from the shechita of somebody who he knew was too careful with his money, because nuvel and nevaila, have some kind of connection. Spending money, anything that has to do with money, is always a touchy subject. Obviously, when it comes to serving Hashem, right? B'chol mo'edchu is one of the things that we're told specifically to make sure that we're not withholding from serving Hashem with is our money. And there are people that will go out at taka be ready to do a lot without, as long as it doesn't cost them anything. But in general, it's not a question that it's a sensitive topic. Money. A lot of people that don't even have the money forget about being stingy. They just don't have it. It's a wonderful thing to talk about when you have it. How much should you spend? How much shouldn't you spend? Where should you be giving more or less? Meiser, choymish. But some people, just struggle to make ends meet. But it definitely touches upon something very personal. People take this very personal, right? Chazal tells us that udem nikar bekisa bekoisei bekasoi. Bekisa, when it comes to money, it's something that's always in b'yoseh tzura hakusel lezaros, b'kum shiach chasurin kis. Last week Rashi said that we have to make sure that people have the zrizas and they're told and they're motivated to do things when it starts costing money, because it's not easy. I think that's what just makes it very hard sometimes to determine what's right and what's wrong. Being that a person is so close to his money and so careful not to lose his money and to spend too much money, it just makes it very, very hard sometimes to figure out what's right and wrong when it comes to spending. And if it wouldn't touch upon every part of our lives, is one thing, okay? So there's that one part of money that we'll deal with. But obviously, it touches upon everything. Now, if somebody does have the funds and somebody does have a lot of money, obviously everything becomes much easier. It's still an assignment sometimes to give out money when you're supposed to, but it makes everything much easier. Most often, you can say that when people are kvetching and people are unhappy, somewhere it has to do with money. And if they would have more, they would be kvetching less. That's a story that I tell over from the Skoli Rebbe Zichron Brucha. He once saw somebody screaming in shiel, screaming at someone else, and he told his son to go later and give that person some money. And his son tells him, Tata, they weren't. It wasn't about money that they were screaming. What makes you think that the guy needs money? He said, no, as a yid shrei, shrei tefantash. If somebody's screaming, he's screaming because he doesn't have money. A lot of situations when it comes to shulam bayis, when it comes to other things, the money becomes an issue, and nobody wants to talk about it because it's uncomfortable. So in the meantime, we're fighting over if the vacation is important, if it's not important, if there's time, if there's not time, where to go, what to do, and really it all boils down to the fact that it's hard to afford. So it's important for everyone to understand. A woman, assuming that it's a husband that's the breadwinner and taking care of the financials, and the woman who's maybe not always sensitive to it or spending the money, of course it's important for her to realize that it may not be easy for her husband to come up with the funds, and he's doing his best and he's trying to make panus. Even if she thinks he could be doing a better job, she has to be sensitive to that. And the other way around as well, it's important for her husband to be sensitive to the fact that his wife wants certain things, and the fact that for him it's not so easy to give out a few dollars. Sometimes it's just important to take into consideration how she's feeling about it. But another part that this, another topic where this touches upon, is always when it comes to chinuch habonim. Now, obviously, kids are no different than adults, and they also want a lot of money, and they're also asking for things that are expensive, and that's also where it's always important to know when and how much and when not and how little. And also to understand that when it comes to chinuch, it's the most important thing in our lives, and what else should we be spending money on if not helping our children? I remember talking to somebody once, a boy, and there was a discussion if somebody could help him learn better or do better, be more matzliach. And I said, he was talking about a certain idea that might be helpful. I said, listen, that's very expensive. I don't know if your father would be open to that. He said, no, when it comes to my hatzlucha, my father will spend anything in the world. He's not a wealthy person. He won't spend a lot on the house or the car or himself. When it comes to my hatzlucha in cheder, in yeshiva, in learning, and becoming a better yid, there's nothing that he won't do. And it's always nice to hear that, because this is the most important part of our lives. So money is something that touches upon everything, whether it's personal, whether it's shulam bayis, whether it's chinuch habunim, and our own kiyumat Torah v'mitzvos. So we have to take to heart and make sure that the esrim gaira akusav leyigra shouldn't get in the way of what we're trying to do. So let me just read a letter, just me'inyan le'inyan a little bit, on this topic. Dear Bagruin, my son is always expressing that we're poor, and he's so embarrassed by it. When his friends were collecting on Purim, he was afraid if I gave them a quarter, they would think he's poor. He begged me to give one of his friends $5, and the rest at least $1. But he's always saying it to get attention as well. Like any time we think it's more reasonable to get something less expensive, he'll start saying, and dancing around the house, saying, poor, poor, right? We're poor. How do I address this? I do try to explain to him at times, when it's not relevant, that money is not everything, and that poor is a big exaggeration, and that Hashem gives us what we need. But he uses it to get attention. I typically try to ignore it, but he knows it's getting under my skin. Do I tell him that we actually don't have a lot of money, and it is sometimes hard to cover the bills, or do we pretend everything is fine? Or is there some middle ground to take? Any advice would be appreciated. Thanks a lot. Okay, so like I started off with, money touches upon almost everything. I won't always bring it into the question if it's not being asked, but you could assume that so many different things would be different, would just be different if there was either more or less money involved. And obviously, a case like this where a boy is saying that he's telling his parents how to spend money, who to give money, and then he's complaining that we don't have enough money, trying to manipulate and get attention. So this definitely touches upon a few different points over here. So I think that just to understand how this works with children, right? Children are a big part of the money issue that we deal with. As much as we would want to maybe let them just do their own thing, go to cheder, play, do your homework and leave all finances to me, it doesn't work like that because they're really involved. As a matter of fact, we involve children in money issues by either bribing them or rewarding them or promising them or incentivizing them. It's just all part of it. Without even realizing it, we're definitely... Or sometimes asking for a knas, you take away money that he got for Hanukkah or for Purim or whatever it is. It's just part of the world. Hashem made the world. The whole world is running around money. That's how Hashem made it. You can't do anything good or bad, Chas v'Shalom, without money. And that's just how the world is running. And when it comes to children, we can't make believe that it doesn't affect them or doesn't have anything to do with them. In general, people identify with their money. People who have a lot of money are arrogant and they feel good about themselves. People who don't have a lot of money are insecure and they have low self-esteem. That's just how we are. So the fact that it trickles over to kids isn't any different than adults. The fact that a child who's growing up in a home where he feels at least that there's no money, he might feel inferior, he might feel bad about himself. To say it's silly, don't feel that way, when we ourselves probably feel that way, is also not being so reasonable. I think that in general, when it comes to children and their status and the way they feel about themselves, it's very important to avoid any extremes. Parents should never make a child feel insecure. Sometimes people do it on purpose, sometimes they don't do it on purpose. But to make a child feel like we can't really pay the bills, I hope there's going to be food for Shabbos, or I'm not really sure what we're going to do this coming Yom Tov, this Pesach. I hope somebody's going to call us with some donations. To involve a child in those kind of messages or that kind of mindset, which people sometimes either don't realize what they're doing, when they talk about these things too loud, and they talk about the financial burden and stress and worries with their wife or husband, and the kids are listening, what does that do to a child? It's one thing when somebody's old enough, mature enough, responsible enough, has enough amina betochen, to deal with such things. But and we shouldn't. Hashem should make sure we all have enough. But to expect a child to not be affected by those messages is wrong. Like I said, sometimes people do it intentionally because they don't want the children to ask for too much. They want children to be more sensitive about what they're demanding or asking for or spending or giving away. So they'll make them feel a little insecure that we don't have enough. And like this, he won't ask. It's not good. It's not good. Children don't know how to handle that kind of insecurity. And you hear this later from adults who grew up like that. And it was worrisome. It's interesting to see how young children already relate to that insecurity that financial insecurity, the financial stress, which is not their responsibility, and technically they're not missing anything. They're going to school, everything's paid for, they have the food, but it's still very worrisome. On the other hand, it's just as important, I think, for a child to understand that it's not whatever you want goes. We have loads of money. There's never a no. Nothing's an issue. Sure, no problem. We'll spend even more. We'll break it. We'll get a better one, more expensive one, a new version. That's not good. That's not healthy. Anyone growing up with that kind of, you know, with that kind of limitless mentality is obviously not good. It's not good in general. It's especially not good if one day he has to go on his own and make a living and try to copy that what he grew up with. It's not good for him to think that he can get whatever he wants. Now, obviously, people who are different people are could struggle with different parts of this equation. People who don't have enough money might have to be more careful that their children shouldn't feel deprived or insecure. People who have too much money, not too much, people who have a lot of money that Hashem gave them for the right reasons to make sure that they're not giving over the wrong message to their children, that money is nothing. And we don't have to care about how we spend it or be responsible. So I think that's just, you know, just in terms of introduction, it's important to make sure that children aren't feeling one way or the other. And yeah, even if somebody has a lot of money, it's still important to let children know that we try to be responsible, we try to make sure that we're buying something when it's necessary and how much, and not being reckless or irresponsible with spending. And the other way around as well, it's important for children to hear that what you need, you'll have. Don't worry, unless something's an extreme situation where, you know, parents, mamash can't provide, and you have to know what to do. You anyway have to provide something, so at least make sure the child's not feeling it. But in general, a child should feel secure. Secure doesn't mean that he thinks that his father's the richest in the class. Secure doesn't mean that he has to go, feeling that whatever he wants he'll have and there's never going to be a no. But secure means that he shouldn't be worried. A child that's worried gets affected by it. I also think that anything you want to discuss about these things should be discussed separately. Like you write, maybe you heard that from me, that a lot of times you want to, I don't like the word explain. You say you try to explain to him at times. The word explain is always a trigger because it sounds like you're saying something that you're not sure he understands. You can explain it again and again and again until he says he understands. You tell your children, you educate them, you tell them. You don't have to explain. You tell them that Baruch Hashem, Hashem provides for us what we need. We rely on Hashem, and Baruch Hashem is always what we need. That you want to tell him. You don't have to go into deep explanations because he understands what it means. It's not so complicated. When we say the word explain, we're often looking for the other person to say, oh, you're right, now I get it. That's not what chinuch is about. That's not what explaining something to your spouse is about, waiting till the other person gets it. This is it. I'm telling it to you. We could talk about it by the Shabbos Seder. We could talk about it when we're having a nice discussion. Baruch Hashem, Hashem is good. And we have a job. We have an income. Hashem provides for us. That's all very important. Whenever you talk about these things in the heat of the moment, when a child is demanding something or talking about how poor or how rich we are, then obviously, you know, your message is not getting across because it's all emotional now. It's all about what he's feeling and demanding. Another thing that's important, though, when you're talking about these kind of explanations or chinuch messages about Baruch Hashem, Hashem takes care of us, sometimes people use their own, I don't know if it's called an inferiority complex, because they're not feeling good about themselves, the fact that they don't have enough money. They give their children a big musishmuzen about histapkus. It's good, we don't have a lot, but I don't need a lot. We don't want a lot. We don't want a lot of money. We don't like money. You know, we're very happy with what we have. We're real sameach b'chelkei. You know, it's just coming from the fact that someone's feeling insecure about himself. So he's trying to make believe or give over a message of not needing, even though his child probably can't relate to that. His child probably doesn't believe him. He probably sees the cover-up that you're just trying to make believe that you don't want money. But I know really that you're looking for different opportunities to make money, things like that. And another thing is where people try to impose a certain level of idealism and amina betochen on children, also just because they're feeling not good about themselves. So we rely on Hashem. Why are you worried? No, we don't have, but we don't have to have. Hashem will give. You have to be careful that a lot of these idealistic messages, whether it's betochen or astapkes, right, being happy with what we have, idealism is idealism. It's good, and we should work on these things, and we should believe in them, and we should strive for them. But trying to get kids to relate to something that's not, that's some kind of madraiga, sometimes some kind of not typical, and talking about it as if it's easy and simple, and that's where I'm holding, and that's where you should be holding at 10 years old, You have to be careful about these things. You know, it's fine to say that Hashem does have us in mind, and we're okay, and we trust in Him. But to make it sound like there's no reason for anyone to worry, and anyone that's not happy, and anyone's looking for more money is silly. These things don't go over well. Children don't buy them. And I think it's just coming. I think children understand that it's just coming from your own incompetence or your own complex. Now, the next thing that I want to talk about is the fact that, that you say that your son is embarrassed by it. There's definitely room to be sensitive to a child's feelings about his image. And again, I think this also touches upon the same idea of imposing idealism on a child. You know, just for example, we talk about Purim costumes, because this was a topic that recently, you know, I was talking to people about, you know, it comes to buying costumes for a child. So again, the children that are wearing the newest costumes every year, getting whatever they want out of any catalog they want. And then you have the ones that are wearing the old hand-me-down that their father was wearing when they were a kid, and things like that. You know, to try to make a child feel like it's not important. You know, all these things, what you wear, Purim, who cares? It's all about it's just a minig that you just have to cover your face and just dress up. So who cares what you dress up like? Or, oh, you're embarrassed what other people think. What other people think is not important. Very often, people try to impose this kind of idealistic message on children. Like I said before, most often the parents themselves aren't like that, and they're not holding by it. But even if they are, to impose something like that on a child, instead of taking his feelings and his image seriously and realizing that he's only a kid, he's not dear. To him, it does mean a lot what his friends will laugh at him or will think of him. You know, to make it sound like he's expected to be able to relate to it and live that way when he's a child is wrong. It's important to know how to feel for a child and validate his feelings when he says that he's embarrassed by something, if it's normal. If it's normal. You know, if something's inexpensive or something is normal and most kids taka have it, you know, there's always what to think about. Like I said before, there are extreme situations where somebody just can't afford something and you can't come up with money that you don't have. But if something's not too expensive, and a child is asking for it, it's gonna make a big difference to him, and most children do have it, or it's cheap enough, to think that it's not important how he feels, that's the mistake, and I think that's something that often has to have more consideration. And what's interesting is that it's not all about money. Sometimes, like for example, I just go to the costume example. A child wants a fancy costume, expensive, fancy, new costume. And you don't have to. You have 12 kids, 15 kids, or even 5 kids, and buying new costumes every year is expensive. And there's no reason why it has to be the most expensive, and it could be unnecessary. Does that mean that because you're getting stuck on the money, and you don't want to spend that much money on something, so you're gonna get stuck on the message that it's not important, that it doesn't matter what you dress up like? Maybe you could be creative. Maybe you could borrow a fancy costume from a neighbor. Maybe you could come up with something very cute and creative that will give them a lot of attention without spending too much. The fact that people get stuck on how much it's going to cost them, so they just revert to not caring about the whole thing, I think that's wrong. Very often you could make a child feel good without spending too much money, and the fact that you're taking his feelings seriously and caring enough to think about it or to come up with something inexpensive, yeah, that's certainly important. So I'll give you an example over here. When you say that your son's asking you to give his friends a dollar or $5 now, one friend he wanted $5, the other one's $1, right? Not a quarter. Now, I don't know how many friends he has. Could be he has 150 friends. Could be he means everyone on the block and everyone in the shul and everyone in the community. And maybe it's too much to give everyone a dollar on Purim. I understand. But if he's talking about 5 friends or 10 friends, then maybe it's worth it. You have to realize $10 to make a child feel good, it might be something to think about. So just to say, well, he shouldn't be embarrassed and I'll teach him it doesn't make a difference, when maybe he's right and most fathers do give a dollar and it's not that many boys, and he's only asking for $5 for one boy, it's something to take into account. Another thing, just based on what I was saying before, is that maybe you can give every child who comes collecting only a quarter, but you can give them a candy. So he'll feel good that his tati is giving out candies. The candy only costs about 5 cents, right? So again, you just took his feelings seriously, so he's feeling good now. Every child who's coming is getting a small wafer or whatever it is. So you're not spending the $100 that he wants you to spend, but you are showing him that you don't want him to look silly and you want him to feel good. Now, I think the next point is just how do you balance the fact that you want to take him seriously and the fact that you might not have enough money and the fact that you don't want him to learn to manipulate you and just start complaining and telling you how poor you are and things like that. And this is always the tricky part of it. It's important for children to see that they cannot manipulate parents. It's important for parents to stick to it and show that they're not being manipulated or controlled. That's very important. There's no reason why a child's dancing around the house saying poor, poor, should get under your skin and make you do things the way he wants. So here it goes. If you want to do something or you think it's right and you have time to think about it and you just don't want him to control you, then it's important to beat him to it. Very many times parents get stuck in this thing of, you know, he wants to go to a friend. I don't really care if he goes to a friend, but he's telling me I have to take him, so I'm not going to take him. So you got stuck now, so you're not taking him. You don't mind if he would have gone. So if you would have just had a few minutes to think about it, everything could have been easier. Beat him to it and say, wow, I'd love to take you to your friend. Now, it's not always so easy, and I think it's fine to teach a child that he can wait for an answer, and you'll think about it. And just saying that you'll think about it shows that you're not doing it just because he demanded right away, you're thinking about it. But my point is that when you're ready to do something, it's important to do it and beat him to it, instead of waiting for him to demand and get under your skin and now get stuck between showing him that, yes, you could tantrum and I'll do it, or I'm not going to do it even though I think it's right. And that's where people get stuck. In general, when you're doing something for your child, before he's demanding it or tantruming about it, you're scoring more points. One is that you came forward and you told me, you know what, this Purim, I'm going to give all your friends $1, for example, right? Because you remember last year he made that demand, for example, or Pesach, whenever it is. The fact that you have him in mind and you care about him feels better than the fact that he's demanding it from you. He's not feeling great, but the fact that he demanded something from you, and you don't really care how he feels, but you know he's just tantruming, so you're doing it. The other thing is that when a child tantrums and you give in, you're teaching him to tantrum more. So somewhere you're both going to get stuck. You taught him a bad lesson. Somewhere he's going to tantrum and not get something, and then he's going to feel bad all over again. You're definitely going to be more, it's more meaningful and more appreciated and healthier when you give something to a child before he demands it, either because it's normal or it's important or because that's what you want to do. But yes, you want to be consistent. And if you tell a child yes, the answer will be yes. And if you tell a child no, the answer will be no. And the fact that he's dancing around and telling you how poor you are, and it's making you not feel good and want to prove him that you really do have the money, you don't have the money, consistency is always important when it comes to children. So yeah, there's no reason to get pulled into an argument about if we're poor or not poor. There's no reason to start reasoning with him, you know, about the exaggeration of being poor and things like that. I think it's important to know how to take a child seriously, be reasonable about it, and not get pulled in, you know, if it's something that you don't believe in. Like you said, kids understand it. They're not stupid. They're often just pulling different strings that they know might work, but they really do understand if a father feels that it's either reasonable or responsible or not, or think about it or not today, maybe tomorrow, things like that, or certain friends yes, certain friends not. You can make a decision. You don't have to be so afraid of what he's going to be saying, as long as you're thinking it through. I do want to just connect the dots to how this, like I started off with, how this connects to marriage. I'll try to be brief, but I think that money issues, financial issues, will affect shalom bias more than chinuch. A lot of kids might not like the fact that they feel that the parents don't have enough money, but they might say it less and make less demands, taka. When it comes to shalom bias, there's definitely a very big issue. Definitely causes a lot of insecurity. There's a word from the Pinchas Lekaritza, whose wife used to demand, his rebbetzin used to demand a lot of money for different things. And he would say, Serzekroin, that's how he called her, I don't have the money that you're asking me for, but machlekes achas doicha maya panusis. Yeah, I'm going to fight with you over it, and it's just going to cost more money because it takes away the panusis, so I'm just going to give in. And you have to know how to pick your battles and know when the shulam bias is important enough to be able to spend a little more than you have, if there's such a thing, or more than you're ready to spend, I should say, and when, no, it's just not, if not a picky battles. I was talking to somebody recently. He felt that his wife was being unreasonable over a certain purchase. Now, the whole purchase wasn't that much money, really. And he was admitting to me that he's not really worried that it's going to happen again. It's a one-time thing. And in general, she doesn't spend a lot of money. That's the truth. But I think she's being unreasonable about this purchase, which is not necessary. So now, everything has to be taken into consideration. I'm not going to tell you to rob a bank to take care of a one-time purchase. Right? You rob a bank once, and that could be the end of it. But if it's a one-time thing, and your wife is not a spender, and you could really afford it, and you're just getting stuck on the fact that this one time it's not necessary, you know, how much is that worth? Sometimes people calling me to discuss this will be spending more on the phone call, getting advice, than what their wife wants, because a matter of principle, I don't want to spend the $20 extra. Now, if it's $20 every day, or if it's a mentality and an attitude issue that's ongoing, then yeah, maybe you should address it. Maybe you shouldn't be so giving in if it's something that's just going to pull you into a bigger problem. But if it's a one-time thing, then sometimes you just have to weigh everything, and it has to make sense. Now, in general, I tell people all the time, you can't spend what you don't have. And if you're trying to make a living and Hashem gives you what you have, and you're trying your best, and people are asking of you to spend money you don't have, it's important to remember that you don't have it. The people that give tzedakahs and the people that are giving causes and giving into all kinds of, whether it's fundraising things or at home, money that they don't have, is swiping credit cards just because they don't know how to say no, or they have a low self-esteem and they're afraid somebody will think they don't have money, it's irresponsible. Spending money you don't have is irresponsible. it's important, though, to remember that when it comes to Shalom Bayis, there is definitely a big value and a big importance to having everyone be happy, that you have to think about how much are you going to get stuck on a few dollars and things like that. It doesn't mean that you have to be manipulated and always give in. On the contrary, I think it's important, again, to not be intimidated and not start arguing about if it's important or not, and getting into all kinds of debates of how much you did already, how much you gave already, how much you don't have to give, and how much nobody else does and everyone else has. I think it's very important to know when somebody's just testing you, and stay calm and be reasonable and responsible and think about it and give a clear answer and be consistent with your answer, and what you say you're going to do, you're going to do, and what you say you won't do, you won't do. And be careful with that. And of course, like we always talk, Shalom Bayis and Chinuch, not mixing the two and not letting your own money quarrel at home roll over onto the kids, where the kids start asking mommy for money. Mommy says, I don't have, go to Tati. Tati says, well, I gave mommy already, and things like that. It's a discussion of its own, but it's very important to make sure that that doesn't, you know, add new stress. The fact that, okay, so I'm not going to ask my husband for money because he doesn't want to give me, but I'll tell my kids that he doesn't give me. You have to be very careful that not to, and it rolls over for the same reason like we started off, because money, everything revolves around money. So your own self-esteem, and then your marriage and your children are all involved in the same bank account. So it just causes problems where sometimes your own low self-esteem rolls over to how you're parenting and then how your marriage looks, and it's becoming one big mess. And that's always something to be very careful about. I think a general rule in life, we'll end with this, a general rule in life is not to get into the all or none about anything. For some people, just simpler that way. Like, no, I always say no, this is what it is, this is the budget, I have this, the $100 that I give, and nothing else. Or on the contrary, I always say yeah because it's just not worth the fight, and I rack up the credit card bills and we'll deal with it one day. Always saying yeah and always saying no in almost any area, in any topic, is going to cause problems. It's like the clock, you know, the old joke about the, what's worse, a clock that's broken or one minute off? Or goes 1 minute off every day, something like that. So the answer is that the one that's broken is better, because twice a day it has the right time, as opposed to the clock that every day falls behind with a minute. It will take years till it gets back to the right place. You know, a clock that's broken, it's nice to say that it has the right time twice a day, but that means that most of the day, almost all of the day, aside for those 2 minutes, it's off. If you're just going to stick to one path in your life, I'm always saying yeah, I'm always saying no, I'm not going to let this happen, I'm not going to ever, I can't think about it, it's too much, too overwhelming, I'll just stick to a certain routine, you're most often going to be wrong. You're going to be right only when that was mamash the right answer, but every other time you'll be wrong. It's important to know how to think things through. Is it responsible? Is there enough money? What's the outcome going to be? Could I take from somewhere else? Do I want, or is somebody making me do it? Is my saying yeah today going to make me say yeah tomorrow? Now, I know you can't always have a sit-down meeting with a whole committee and figure out the answer every time, but just putting thought into how you respond and thought into what the responsible thing to do is will often just clarify things and avoid mistakes. So I think, just to recap in short, that chinuch and money are definitely very connected, and you know, children shouldn't get the feeling that they're either too poor or too rich. It's true, and you should be careful with a child's feelings, and instead of just trying to teach him to overcome those feelings and maybe they don't exist. And when you think about it, sometimes it will be worth the few dollars that it costs. Sometimes you'll come up with other ways to make him feel good. Very important. You shouldn't be manipulated by what a child is saying. You should be consistent, but hear him out and maybe come forward in advance before he starts making his demands. And like I said, the same thing with marriage. If not, to pick your battles, communicate nicely, be strong about it. And when Ibish Hasilf, you know, when we do this all in the name of serving Hashem, it's all part of serving Hashem, right? All Torah mitzvah is serving Hashem, Shalom Bayis is serving Hashem, Chinuch Habonim is serving Hashem, and we're careful not to fall into the Higayda LeYigra, you know, not to be too stingy, but on the other hand as well, to know how to be responsible. And Ibish Hasilf will be able to take care of our needs and each other's needs and live together.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.